year different than any other year in the last few decades? Well, it could be that the Seattle Mariners are finally a playoff team for the first time since 2001. And guess what? Ty Dane Gonzalez is finally over his hangover, and he's going to talk about the fact that the Mariners clinched in the most dramatic way. And this could be an interesting October, fast or long, because an era is over in Seattle. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Look down there. Those who watch me on the YouTubes, you can call me Sully. I'm an Emmy-nominated television producer. I have been, and I am an Emmy-nominated television producer. I've appeared on TV and ESPN2, on HBO Sports. I've been a podcaster for the last decade. And for the last four seasons, four of them, I have been a podcaster here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Where is your team every day? You can follow us at Locked On MLB Pods on Twitter and Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Thanks so much for making us your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. And if you're done listening to us, then tell your podcaster to play podcast Locked On Mariners. Why not? Just sort of mix it up a little bit. And I don't have the background here. Do I have the background here? We'll find out in a second. Let's just bring him right on board. The Seattle Mariners, for the first time since Lou Piniella was the manager, Edgar Martinez and Jay Buhner were on the active roster. Folks, for the first time, a manager other than Lou Piniella is managing a playoff-bound Seattle Mariners team. Ty Dane Gonzalez, with the proper background. We're recording this, pulling back the curtain, over the weekend. So the is your hangover over from the Cal Raleigh home run?
Yeah, let's just say on Saturday I paid the price dearly of 21 years of misery finally coming to an end, but it was well worth it. And of course, you know, I just want to mention that I did adhere to our to the message of our lovely sponsor from a few weeks back, the NHTSA. You know, I stayed at home like a good boy. I didn't get into any cars, you know, didn't do any of that. Stayed at home and cried my stupid little eyes out for about 12 hours straight.
Now, I was 29 when the Mariners last made the playoffs. I'm a 50-year-old man now. How old were you in 2001?
5 years old.
Okay, so by the rule of seven, which is you don't start making concrete sports memories until you're 7 years old, this is really your first playoff experience.
Yeah, truly. I mean, like, I have faint memories that come in and out of the last few times the Mariners were in the playoffs. I remember like Arthur Rhodes' earring.
Yeah.
I remember like Carlos Guillen's squeeze bun against the White Sox. I remember beating Cleveland in the the DS in 2001. Like, mm-hmm. I remember like little bits of that. That's about it. So yeah, this is pretty much my first time experiencing this team in the playoffs consciously. It means everything to me.
Let's talk about that game on Friday. I was hooked on virtually every pitch and I watched it to the end. Talk to us a little bit. I mean, it was give Oakland credit. They didn't lay down. They really played. They pitched wonderfully, and their defense was great. And it was a razor thin game, obviously tied with two outs in the bottom of the ninth. Take us through what it was like for Mr. Ty Dane Gonzalez witnessing one of the great baseball moments in Seattle history.
Well, first, I got to thank my my wife, my lovely wife, Caroline, who stayed by my side during that whole time. I was an emotional wreck during that whole thing. I was nervous as hell. And it was mostly because, like, I didn't think that they were going to lose. And plus, even if they, you know, did lose that night, they would still have six more days to clinch. Yeah. The magic number being one, whatever. Like, they were going to do it. It was more just coming to the realization that they are going to do it. And I'm about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes away from experiencing this thing that I've wanted my entire life. And so kind of knowing, like, especially once we got into the ninth and knowing, like, if they are going to do it, they have to walk it off. Like, this is just going to be a crazy emotional thing. And it's just kind of the moments building up to that. I'm just kind of trying to emotionally prepare myself for whatever is going to happen. And I didn't think that it was going to go that way. I thought, you know, because of the Players Tribune article, I'm not sure if you saw it, but the Players Tribune article that was posted, you know, before the season, where Mitch Haniger wrote about, we're going to end the effing drought. I thought, okay, well, Mitch Haniger's due up in the bottom of the ninth. He's going to do it. You know, this is how the Disney movie script is going to go. And he strikes out, and I'm like, huh. Well, I guess Carlos Santana is going to do it. This guy that's been to the playoffs and, you know, doesn't really have much of a connection to Seattle. That would be a little weird and a little, like, anticlimactic, but why not? Let's go with it. You know, who cares? I want the drought to be over. But he doesn't do it. But here comes Cal Raleigh. Pinch hitting for Luis Torrens. He's already had a pinch hit home run before in Kansas City just a few days prior. But he's sitting fastball that entire at bat. And he's just behind on everything. He's just too ahead on everything. He's just swinging through change up, slider from Acevedo. But finally gets that slider at the bottom of the zone. It's out of the zone too. And the way that he drove that ball all the way to the Hit It Here Cafe, off the windows of the Hit It Here Cafe. I mean, talk about not just ending the drought, but ending the drought with 15 exclamation points. Like, that is how you do that. I mean, that's like the baseball gods just saying, you know what? Here you go.
You know what? It's funny. You know, it's such an accomplishment to clinch a playoff spot in baseball that you almost don't want to be picky about how you do it, especially when your drought has been going on for multiple decades. That being said, I remember in 2016, the Boston Red Sox, team I grew up rooting for, was on the verge of clinching the division at Yankee Stadium. And just one year, you're going to clinch at Yankee Stadium. Cool. And the Yankees were going to miss the playoffs altogether that year. So it was an added bit of thumb-nosedness. And they went into the final inning with Kimbrel on the mound, and they got word that Toronto had lost. So it had already clinched. So the celebration on the field was going to be, you know, it felt like, okay, fine, they clinched, but let's celebrate on the field. And the Yankees rallied, and Mark Teixeira hit a walk-off grand slam with two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and the Yankees won the game. And so the Red Sox walk off the field after letting up a walk-off grand slam to a locker room filled with champagne bottles and T-shirts and plastic up everywhere. And I remember saying on the podcast, then, celebrate. You won the division. This is not about winning a game. You won the division. Celebrate that. That's an accomplishment. But man, was that a confusing night. Like, yay?
Yeah. Well, and that's what we were concerned about too, right? Because it just seemed like the way that they were going to clinch is the Orioles were going to lose, and that was going to be it, because the Orioles were skidding and the Mariners were skidding too. And, you know, we had joked about, like, oh, the most Mariners way for them to clinch would be for the Orioles to lose in the afternoon, they clinch, and then they lose like 3-2 to the A's that night. And yeah, like, and that's just it. But I mean, it kind of went perfectly. You know, the Orioles lose 3-4 to the Red Sox, which, I mean, that kind of came out of nowhere, because the Red Sox, that bullpen is terrible.
It's not been a good Red Sox year. I can't believe they're 1 year removed from being in the ALCS to this team. That's just, there's There is you know, there's no middle ground with that franchise, but that's not the point. The point is that the Mariners won. They won in a dramatic, in a very dramatic way. And look it, I'm not saying they are going to win, go that far, but it is an absolute surefire bet that this Mariners team is going to compete and be competitive when they play in the postseason. If you're making any bets, go to Bet Online, which remains your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game that you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport that's out there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games, events, including Major League Baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to BetOnline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. We're with Ty Dane Gonzalez, who is still drunk from the Friday victory.
I got my beer mug right here. My bet mug. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I'm wearing the vintage little vintage Trident Mariners outfit here. The Mariners remain the only franchise to never play in a World Series. Mm. I have a gigantic soft spot in my heart for the Seattle Mariners. They're one of my favorite teams. Have always been one of my favorite teams, even before Griffey showed up. Griffey is my favorite non-Red Sox of all time. And I think about all the great Mariners, Hall of Famers, you know, Johnson and, you know, Edgar Martinez and Ichiro and Felix Hernandez. I think Felix Hernandez is going to go to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, obviously Griffey, you know, A-Rod's peak. You know, let's not discount that. You know, this seems like an unlikely Mariner group, but this is an insanely likable Mariner group. And also, let's face it, has the greatest, they're a wild card team, and they have the greatest wild card of any of the playoff teams, which is Julio Rodriguez. Because this is a very different team with Rodriguez, no Rodriguez. This is already a successful season. They're off the schneid. Ask Ethan Smith how he, you know, from Lockdown Pirates, how much easier his life is that they don't have to bring up Francisco Cabrera every 2 minutes whenever they talk about the Pirates. Just taking that air out of the balloon and coming up to the players and, hey, you're going to fail again, you're going to fail again, you're going to fail again. Okay, but if you want to go far with Rodriguez, this is a scary team. Mm. Without Rodriguez, this might be a, hey, it's nice to be here situation.
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of seen that, right, over the last week or so, because, you know, the team was skidding and lost 8 of 11 on that disastrous road trip. It blew an 11-2 lead to the Royals. That was just, the vibes were at an all-time low for this team with all the injuries and stuff. But, you know, now they're kind of getting healthy at the right time. Like, you know, obviously you don't want any injuries to happen, but that was kind of the perfect timing for those injuries to happen, because, it you know, you still had about 15 to 20 days remaining in the regular season to heal up. So, you know, you built enough of a buffer here that you could afford to put Julio on the IL, and you could afford to put Eugenio Suarez on the IL, who's fortunately back now, and he's actually playing at third base, which is really remarkable. But so, you know, like you said, though, I think that this team, and I said this on our show, I think this team is actually very comparable to that Nationals team that just won a World Series a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And Julio, you know, it's really, really easy, and albeit a little bit lazy, to make the comparison between Julio and Juan Soto. And, you know, the pitching staffs, I think, line up very well. Obviously, the Mariners don't necessarily have a Max Scherzer on their team, but
Robbie Ray and Gilbert. I mean, they've got depth on that squad.
Yeah. Like, they have, you know, and as we know, and I know, me speaking as someone that's never experienced a playoff game in really my conscious sports watching life, but, you know, pitching reigns supreme in the postseason. We know that. This is one of the best bullpens in baseball. This is one of the best rotations in baseball. And, you know, once we get going here on Friday, you know, with the wild card series, like, they have a 1-2-3 that can go toe-to-toe with anyone. And they have a 1-2-3 that can go toe-to-toe with Kevin Gausman, Jose Barrios, and Alek Manoah. They can do that. You know, so it's really, you know, the only question that I really have going into this postseason is, will this offense be able to score enough runs, even with Julio? Because there's still, there's a lot of hit and miss with this offense.
Literally.
You know, it's
literally
a boom or bust offense. No, doesn't matter if Julio's fully healthy or not, because it's like, yeah, Julio's, you know, you can pretty much count on Julio most of the time. You can more or less count on Eugenio Suarez most of the time, but who else is going to step up? Is Ty France going to step up? Is Mitch Haniger going to step up? Who is going to be that third or fourth guy that can add stability and consistency throughout this lineup, so you can score runs, so you can get those timely hits, to give your pitching, you know, your pitching staff enough of a buffer there.
One of the amazing things that happens in October, you wouldn't know much about this because you're a Mariner fan, is that that person is almost impossible to forecast.
Yeah.
I mean, think about Rosario and Soler last year with Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they were the ones who just sparked the team to a World Series title.
I'll tell you what, if I had to pick someone, just some random on the Mariners who might have a postseason run like that, I'd say it's Dylan Moore.
Yeah, Dylan I can Moore, see that.
Dylan Moore has, like, he's not, like, he's had quietly a really good year, but he's not exciting. He's not, you know, and he's also kind of a one-trick pony in the sense that he really only hits left-handed pitching. Like, he's pretty dreadful against right-handed pitching. But I feel like, because he's had some big moments in the past, obviously had that grand slam against the Astros last year with the big comeback right before the trade deadline and everything, mm-hmm. before the Kendall Graveman trade, all that. He's just kind of, he just kind of has that clutch gene, you know. He's not like a great player by any means, but he comes through in those big moments sometimes. And so I kind of feel like maybe October is built for Dylan Moore.
I think Ty France is going to get a big hitter too.
Yeah.
I think Ty France, if you watch him during the, I know you have, but if you follow the team, he will go on these flurries of games where he's right in the middle of every rally. I'm not saying he's going to hit walk-off home runs, but I think you're going to see there's a, if the Mariners play well, the it will take a France. It will take some of these other players to, you know, really, you know, take them more to have one of them have that hot week to really make a difference. One of the things that would frighten me terribly, to rooting for the Mariners, and full disclosure, everyone, I'm pulling for the Mariners. I would love to see the Mariners finally get to the World Series. I would love to see that. I'm not picking them, but I'd like to see it happen. Alek Manoah scares the tar out of me.
Mm.
Alek Manoah is having a phenomenal season with Toronto, and he's having one of those innings-eating, strike-him-out, old-fashioned type of ace seasons. He's having it very quietly his second year with Toronto. It's not as sexy as Justin Verlander or some of the, or Shohei Ohtani or some of the other people who get a lot of press, but he is someone who is like has been tremendous in this, his second full season in the majors, or second season in the majors, I meant to say. He's undoubtedly going to go game one for Toronto. So the question is, who do the Mariners? Do the Mariners throw Ray? Do they maybe play games and throw a Castillo game one and have Ray go game two? I mean, what do you think?
So, yeah, they kind of
or Logan Gilbert.
They kind of already have it set up, actually. So it's going to be Castillo in game one.
Okay.
He pitched yesterday, and they've already said, like, he's not pitching again. Robbie Ray pitched today and did not have a good tune-up by any means against the A's. Gave up 6 runs, a couple of home runs. Like, wasn't great. The interesting thing to note there, by the way, of course, you know, last time the Mariners came to Toronto, Robbie Ray couldn't make the trip. Vaccine requirements have been lifted, though, as of Friday, so he will be able to make that trip and will be able to pitch. So, and it seems like he will be the game two starter. The other word out of Seattle right now is that Logan Gilbert will not make another start unless on Wednesday for their final game they have a chance to get the wild card one. Then he would pitch in that game. But it seems like their three guys for the wild card series will be Castillo, Ray, and Gilbert in that order.
I think that bodes well for Seattle. I really do. Especially if Toronto throws Manoah in game one. Again, Castillo could match up well with Manoah. You know, you're not asking Castillo to pitch better than Manoah over 32 games. You're asking him to pitch well against him in one. And you've seen situation where a team's ace goes against someone else's pretty good pitcher. And then, you know, if they win that, great. If not, you have one of your better pitchers going up against their number two or three. I remember when the A's beat the Twins in the playoffs in 2006, Johan Santana was the world beater, the greatest pitcher in the American League. And they matched him up with Barry Zito, who had a fine year. But Zito matched him. They won that game, and the Twins didn't recover. And remember, keep in mind, this is a best of three series. So, you know, if they win the Manoah start and the Mariners win the Rays start, then we're back to a one-game playoff, and it is a coin toss. So I like that setup of the rotation.
Yeah, it'll be like, for me, I think I would still lean Kirby over Gilbert because Kirby's just been stellar, and he hasn't allowed a home run since June, something like that. And you know, you want to keep the Blue Jays from going over the wall here, because I mean that's where they do most of their damage with Teoscar and Vlad and Bo and all those guys. So that's probably where I would lean. But Gilbert's had a great month. He was so dominant on Friday in the drought ender. So you know. I get it. I get why they want to go that route. That's fine. I just, personally speaking, I'd probably go Kirby. Honestly, though, like, they would never do this, but I would honestly take Ray out for the wild card series.
No, they'll
do it.
Yeah, there's going to be torches and pitchforks if they do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I just, me speaking, just watching Robbie Ray, I get a bit concerned. And also the Blue Jays hit lefties really well, and he's been kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. So, you know, for me, if it was just up to me, and it's not, and there's a good reason for that, yeah, I would go Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert. But yeah, I think they're in a good position, though. And as long as they can keep the damage to a minimum and get to that bullpen, again, this is one of the best bullpens in baseball, if not the best bullpen that's going to enter the playoff field, with Andrés Muñoz and Paul Sewald and all these guys. If they can get to that bullpen, then you got to feel really good about where you're at if you're the Mariners.
All right, we're here with the host of the Locked On Mariners podcast, Ty Dane Gonzalez. Just wrapping up things here a little bit. Is this season a success, even if they drop two games to Toronto?
Yeah, I think, you know, like, obviously I've had my sights set a little further than a lot of fans. You know, for me, this was never just about ending the drought. Like, I want to make a run, and I think this team is very capable of making a run into the postseason. I don't think they're going to go to the World Series necessarily, but I think that they can make a run to the DS, to the CS even, if things go right. So, you know, I would like to see them do that, but at the end, am I going to be disappointed? Am I going to be upset? No. I mean, like, I'm going to be sad that they didn't make a run if they don't end up making a run. But this is a success. This is a great building block for the future. This is a team that is set up to sustain success for the next decade. Yeah. And they still have so much payroll flexibility. They still have a great farm system that they're going to be able to add more talent through, whether it's via trade or just with the guys that they have in the farm. This is a team that is going to be ready to compete for a division next year, even with the Astros.
Yeah, I completely agree. I actually picked the Mariners to win the division this year. It had less to do with my confidence in the Mariners and more that I really thought the Astros were going to regress. Boy, great. And go to Bet Online with great picks like that. Lose your house. But, yeah, I think this is this is a very good team. I think if Julio Rodriguez is healthy, I think they could beat Toronto. I really think there's no player in the playoff race of the teams in the wild card round that could turn a series as much as Rodriguez. If Rodriguez is healthy and in that lineup, I think it's a complete coin toss. It's going to go to a game three, maybe extra innings. I mean, it's like anyone's guess. Without Rodriguez, I probably would pick Toronto. But then again, it's only two games. And just look at what poor freaking Milwaukee had to deal with a lousy Marlins team. You know, if it's just two games, you know, a lot of things can happen, obviously. But I think they're getting this team, getting this off their shoulders, knowing they have a franchise player, knowing they have a foundation of a good, solid pitching staff, knowing that this team is going to stick together, I think they're in a great shape. I'm going to ask you this one last question, though, Ty. The other day, Mariners Twitter was burning Scott Service in effigy. And you have seen situations where a team is on the verge of making a breakthrough and they change the manager because of the, okay, you got us to this point, this manager's going to take us over the hump. Is Scott Service the manager of the future, and why is he... I don't follow the team as closely as you do. Mm. Why are they, like one person was calling him the worst manager in baseball, which I thought was an interesting way to celebrate his breaking of a long streak of of playoffless teams. So,
yeah, that's baloney. Scott Service. You know, he's not a perfect in-game manager, but what manager really
is
nowadays?
Who is? Joe Torre wasn't always – Joe Torre was sometimes a mess as an in-game manager, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
I'll say this about Scott Service. I believe that Scott Service is one of, if not the best culture builder in baseball right now in terms of a manager. He's very much – you know, and Seattle sports fans will pick up on this pretty easily, that he's pretty much baseball's Pete Carroll. He just wants to put guys in the best possible situation to succeed. He creates a very welcoming and relaxed culture. Like, look, just a few days ago, they, they lost 8 of 11. They had an awful road trip. You know, they weren't necessarily losing their grip on the wild card, but there are bigger and better things that they wanted to do. You know, they wanted to get the number one seed in the wild card and everything. And he said, you know what, guys? We're not doing batting practice the next day. We're not doing any of that. I want you to come in late. Just come in late. Come in late. Show up right around game time, and let's just go for it. And they did that for 2 days straight, including the drought ender. And look what happened. They won like four in a row, three in a row, something like that. So it's little things like that. And it's the way that you see him. I don't know if you saw any of the videos of him in the clubhouse after they won. His speech.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
and when they come back out on the field, the thing is, you know, not everyone obviously is going to buy what Scott is selling, but for the most part, like 95% of the players that have come through that clubhouse over the last 7 years with Scott Service at the helm, love playing for Scott Service, love playing in that ballpark, love playing in that clubhouse, love showing up to work every single day because of the culture that Scott Service built. And ultimately, even if it comes down to a point where it's like, all right, you know, I want someone that's a little bit better in game, whatever. That's never going to happen as long as Jerry Dipoto is the president of baseball operations in Seattle. Scott Service is his guy. They're joined at the hip. They came here together. They're going to leave together whenever that happens. So,
all right.
Yeah, he's always going to be here. And I think he's the man for the job. I really do. Just the he has been the ultimate leader that this clubhouse needs. He's perfect for a balance of veterans and young guys. I mean, Julio's like 21 years old. Like, they have a lot of really young guys. He's really good at balancing that and balancing a clubhouse that's very diverse in just styles and all that.
All right, fair enough. We'll look at Ty Dane Gonzalez is the host of Locked On Mariners. And for the first time since he was in kindergarten, he is going to see the Mariners in a postseason game. And I'm thrilled for you, man.
Thank you.
You know what? The first time I ever saw my team in the postseason, it's funny to say this because everyone associates with the Red Sox in the playoffs all the time. I was too young for 1975. I was only three. So the first time I saw him, I was in high school. And I was just overwhelmed. Of course, it was 86, which was the most overwhelming roller coaster you could ever imagine. But just that sense of, I'm watching a playoff game, and my team's in it. It's the greatest feeling. It's the absolute greatest feeling. And whether it's a run to the World Series or two and out, savor every minute of it and know it's the building block of something really, really great. Kind of like when I was asked to join the Lockdown Podcast Network and be part of it. And here I am about to finish my fourth season with the team. Hey, tell people where they can follow your podcast and you.
Yeah, you can check us out on YouTube, Locked On Mariners. You can check us out on all of your preferred podcast platforms. We're on all of them. Just search Locked On Mariners. You'll find us. You can find us on Twitter at @LO_Mariners. You can follow. You can find me on Twitter at Dane Gonzalez. It's DaneGNZLZ. You can also find my co-host Colby over at CPAT11, CPAT11. And yeah, we're going to be having a hell of a lot of fun on the show this week. It's going to be great. Super excited.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On MLB Pods. My personal account is right there. You see my lower third. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Celebrating the 2022 World Series champion Seattle Mariners. Did I just curse them? Go to Bet Online.
No, actually, I think you just gave us good luck, actually.
Go to Bet Online. Put all of it on the Mariners winning it all. With Ty Dane Gonzalez of Locked On Mariners, this has been Locked On MLB. I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.